Amen to everyone. Amen. I was smiling to myself before I came up here. So you see the title to the message? Huh? See, there you go. That's what I was smiling about. I thought, if anybody knows me well, being totally tone deaf, and saw this title, they think, we must have a guest speaker this morning. No way. Now, if I put praise up there, you go, okay, maybe. If I put worship, you go, okay, maybe. But music, you know, no, that's not happening. So if anything's pertinent comes out of this message, you'll know it was totally inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's like, I can't even touch this. So, but it is on music. It's on music, and I purposely didn't want to use praise, and I purposely didn't want to use worship, and because those are really good words, and those are things we would do, but they would take us in a certain place, which is, you know, a great place, but it's not where I want to go, okay? I want to talk about music, the actual music, which is in the scripture. So to start this off, let me pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for music. I thank you for the praise this morning, you know, and I just thank you for Adam leading that. And so, and all the people who participate in it in such a way. And so we do pray you, thank you and pray honor on you for music and the glories that you communicate to us through music. I pray you'd move among each person. I pray you'd open our hearts to receive from your word. I pray you'd anoint me that I could just speak words of your spirit that would touch each person's heart. So we just give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we'll start off here looking at 2 Kings 3:15. 2 Kings, and I'll give you time to turn there, have an overhead. 2 Kings 3:15, and it says this, "But now bring me a musician." And when the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. Fascinating. Now, so what we want to touch on this morning, talk about, is the untapped, what, from my point of view, the untapped power of music. Music, okay? Now, you can see, I make a point here, why I didn't want to use worship. Okay, well, we worship. You can worship, untapped power. You go, well, no, that's not what we're talking about. It relates to worship, but I want to talk about music. I want to look at music. So don't get real holy on me, okay? Don't get real holy. We want to look at the music, the actual music. And so, now what we know, we look in scriptures, that the heavens will be filled with music. Will be filled with music. We also see that music breaks through physical barriers and spiritual darkness. I'm just talking about music. Again, we'll worship and we get it. Worship. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It does, but music breaks physical barriers and spirit and penetrates spiritual darkness. Music is an avenue. Now listen to this. Music is an avenue to release the power of God. Release the power of God. Our praise, our songs, our music that glorifies God brings us into the presence of God. Now, music. Okay? Now, I know I'm beating the drum too much on that, but you see why I didn't say worship. You go, oh, I got this. Worship. We're right in the presence. You know, no, I'm talking about music. Music, okay? Now, it leads into worship, but the focus is on music. And so it's a really, so music brings us into the presence of God. Into the presence of God. Now, so what we have here, which is a very interesting situation, if you read this whole section on 2 Kings, so these kings come up to Elisha, and they ask him a question. They say, hey, we need to know what to do, okay? So Elisha says, all right, he's a prophet. He says, I'll tell you what to do. We'll see what the Lord says. Okay? Then he does this. Then he goes, bring me a musician. And then when the musician played, then the Lord came on him, and then he told them what to do. That's huge. Why? He's a prophet. Lord, speak to me. These guys don't know what they're doing. Give me a word. This is no idea. Bring me a musician. And once the musician played, when he played, see, and notice he didn't say a singer. I'm sure the guy sang, gal, sang. But that's not what he said. He said musician. So he played something. He played something. And as soon as he played some music, the Lord spoke to him. Now, I believe there's a huge lesson there. There's a huge, huge lesson tied up into that. How many times, oh, God, talk to me. I'm not hearing anything. Oh, Lord, speak to me, you know, which is good, you know. I do that all the time. But it's like, okay, I just need to hear some music. I need to just hear some music. Just get focus on the Lord and hear some music and make an avenue so God would speak to me. That's what that's saying. That's what this is saying right here. That the music has the power to bring you into the presence of God. Or what it says here, it says when you have music and it brings God to you and he puts a hand on you. See, what that's what it says. Okay, I'm in it now, you know. No, you kind of got God in it. See, that's the difference. Me being in it and God being in it. I'm really thankful for that because I can't get in it at all. So when God comes in it, it's like, oh, man, I can even hear something. You see, like being tone deaf, God can break through that. And so when I look at this, I want to really drive home the point. What did Elisha say? What? And it's just him. This is his walk with the Lord. So to start this whole thing off, I want to just stir the pot with everybody. And here's a lesson that I think, and I have three particular lessons that jumped out at me. But here's lesson number one. Here's lesson number one that I think we should remember about music. Okay? Not praise, not worship, about music. It may lead into worship and praise. But music. Lesson one. Music can call forth the hand of God. That's what we did with Elijah. Music can call forth the hand of God. We don't simply sing, okay? We bring forth the presence of God. Now think about our praise time. Oh, we're just lavishing God with our praise. No, when we sing and praise, we bring forth his presence. We bring forth his presence. It's an avenue. Music opens the door to the spiritual process. Now, I could take a little, and I made a decision purposely not to do this. I could make a little deviant avenue here and spend a lot of time on how Satan uses music. See? Because he knows the power of music. He knows full well the power of music. All right? So, we don't want to talk about him. We'll have another lesson when y'all won't be totally depressed and we can talk about him. But let's just get him out of here. So, if we focus on the Lord, he didn't have anything to do with it at all. So again, I'm going to read this number one because it's so important. Listen to this and think music can call forth the hand of God. We don't simply sing. We don't simply just sing, oh, come in church, just sing, la, 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 la. We don't simply sing. We bring forth the presence of God. Like when Adam was singing all those hymns. And see, a lot of those Christmas carols, we've heard those since we were little bitty kids. You know, okay, we can go. Just try. No, God says, no, you sang that. And he says, you bring me into your presence. You bring me into your presence. When you sing those, I'm coming into your presence. It's like, well, then I might want to pay a little more attention to what's being sung. I might want to pay a little bit attention in singing with that. Someone told me something really good, because the Bible says everyone should make a joyful noise. All right, so I have privilege that I can make a joyful noise. And this person also said, but not everyone gets a microphone. So I make a joyful noise, but I don't get a microphone on that. So you have this, you have this dynamic that I'm sure we even as we weren't even thinking about it, when we sing along this morning, you know, gosh, that just neat, and it just kind of blessing, and Christmas is coming. If we were thinking about it, you know, not thinking about, oh my God, we don't have our shopping done, the tree's not up. You know, if we thought of something besides that, we're thinking, oh gosh, this is, you just kind of forget about. Well, what that is you're bringing in the presence of God to your being. That's why it's different. And that's why we ought to pay attention, right? When we play music and we sing the things, and we sing the things of the Lord. So, it's like, golly, that's powerful. Now, we also see in the Old Testament, fascinating thing, and but it so ties into this, and I want us to look at 1 Samuel 16:23, and I'm just going to read a portion of this to make the point. I mean, the whole thing here. I say, we also learn that music, not worship, not praise. Okay, they're good, and they come. That music causes evil spirits to flee. Music. Oh, I worship and the devil fled. Great. I praise now. Okay. But that's not what this says. Music and the devil would flee. So in 1 Samuel 16:23 says, David took the lyre, the harp, the guitar, you know. David took the lyre and he played it with his hand. I mean, there's a point. There's a point. What's going on here? He made music. He played with his hand. You know, he didn't just get holy and talk to God. He played the lyre. He played the guitar. Okay. David took the lyre and he played it with his hand. And the harmful spirit departed from Saul. See, he had that impact on Saul, and this harmful spirit came upon Saul because he rejected God. And so a harmful spirit was sent to him. He couldn't get rid of it, except that's where he got David. David would come up, and we'll just pray. He played a guitar, you know. See, I think if I played the guitar, I'd call in evil spirits. And they'd think, oh man, heyday here with this guy. No. So here you have David playing the lyre, and the harmful spirit departed Saul. What drove the harmful spirit away? Worship? Praise? I mean, sure. No, the music did. The music did. Drove the harmful spirit away. And as you read through 1 Samuel, he mentions that several times. So I want you to think about that process through our mind. And again, process that the Lord is telling us something and says, here's a tool in your toolbox. Here's something about your walk you need to know. This is a truth, and you need to know. If you know it, then you can use it in this evil world with the awful things going on. So David played the harp, and him, evil, harmful spirit, the evil, damaging, distrustful spirit fled. Now I'm going to say something, and I'm stepping out on stuff, okay? If it fits, fine. If it doesn't fit, you know, just don't take it. But I'm going to say it. Feel depressed. I just depressed. What's wrong? You know, kids, no car, right now I'm just depressed with life. I'm dejected. I'm just down. You know, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. Just down. That's an evil spirit. That's an evil spirit. I think I'll take a pill. That'll zone you out. But the spirit will stay with you until it wears off. And then he takes over again. A lot up. There's physical things going on. I know that. But part of where it comes in, there's a spirit of evilness that causes depression. There's a spirit of evilness that causes heaviness. There's a spirit of evilness that just like puts a pressure on you that everything's wrong. Just can't get your head out of the mire. It's an evil spirit. Well, then to get the evil spirit out, you need to do something with the Lord spiritually. That spiritually the evil spirit will flee. Because when you play and the spirit of God's presence comes, the evil spirit flees, just like it fled Saul. Just like it fled Saul. Now with me? Now again, I'm stepping in something I know nothing about, and I know there's a lot of physical things going on. And I think a lot of things we attribute to mental illness is spiritual. It's evil spirits. And I just want to let you know, you can't treat evil spirits, and evil spirits will never let you get well. So, at least here's one point to say, oh my God, we have to go into the spirit, and we can pray and da-da-da. But to come to a point that knowing that when you're playing music, when you're in music, when you're worshiping the Lord and playing music to the Lord and the things about the Lord, just like these Christmas carols. How many of you just have felt like sometimes, you know, I mean, just stuff. You just get overwhelmed with stuff. Oh, good gosh. I mean, and I know, yeah, I'll be so glad when Christmas is over. Lord, there's so much stuff to do. See, but what you do, and a lot of times I know you've happened in other places or places like church, and you hear just like the Christmas carols like that. And you're just like, it's all right. It's okay. You know, for a while. Well, that's this song, and that song just made me feel better. Yeah. But it also drove the evil away from you. And that evil can't continually harass you. And that evil can't continually come upon you. See what happened? Because the music is an avenue to bring the presence of God, and it is also something that causes the evil, harmful spirits to leave. All right, so it'd be something worth considering. All right, now, so when you look at this, you think, my goodness, music and singing can call forth the hand of God and cause harmful, evil spirits to flee. Now, I want to share something with you that, and you know this, you don't have to tell them, I am not musical. And as a kid, like, I never listened to music. It wasn't a part of my life. It wasn't that important. And so I remember as the Lord would start teaching me this, it's like, okay, maybe I should just kind of get into it. So I'd get stuff and just play and listen to it. And I said, well, that ain't half bad, you know. So I would listen. But I forced myself to. I've been around people, and I'm sure maybe some of you are the same way, and they'll like play a wonderful song that's played well, and you know, and the music is just perfect. You know, you'd have to tell me it was perfect, but you say it's real perfect. And I've seen people, it's like almost, they just almost like zone out. I said, that's the craziest thing I ever saw. It's just like they just get like so full of, like they hear everything, you know. And it's just, oh. And I thought, man, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, maybe touch me, because I ain't hearing it. Just not hearing it. So the Lord does help me have an avenue, but I am so separated from everybody else that has a little bit of music. So I'm driving a point. There is something here that we need to pay attention to. There's something here we need to pay attention to. I have to tell you this story. We had this lady, this is way back, Reston Bible Church, and she was like a concert pianist. She was unbelievable. And we had people, I remember it happened two or three times where they'd have singing groups come in, and she had played with them, and then also, this is the best piano player I ever heard. I've been around the world. This is the best piano player I ever heard. I thought, she ain't bad, you know? That's good, you know? I knew her real well. One day, she came in, and she played for the church. Just played a whole thing in church. I thought, that's cool. You know, that sounds good. And so she gets up. She walks by the aisle, and she walks past me, and she's crying. She's crying. I said, I wonder what she's crying about. Nothing. She just played the piano. So after the service, I said, why were you crying after you played that song? I thought she was like moved by the Spirit or something. Why were you crying? She goes, that penny is out of tune. I go, really? That sounded good to me. I mean, I'm just praising Jesus over there. But she had a level of appreciation. I had no way I could get there. But she heard all those things with the music and the power of music and out of tune and just took it all away from her. See? Because she's so in tune to the music. Now, like I said, I'm not going to get there from here. It's not going to happen. But the Holy Spirit has touched me and will carry me in music, certain music played. I don't know what's going on, but the Holy Spirit will use it. And I've come to a point that whether I can hear it correctly or not, if I go and play music, the Holy Spirit will even work with me. He'll work with me. I can. So the Spirit is moving. You see me playing something. I thought, oh my God, I just feel the presence of the Lord. You know, Greg's playing his bass. He said, oh, Wallace is finally hearing my bass the way it should be heard. And he said, I didn't. The Spirit just touched me. He used your bass, but I didn't know what you're doing on your bass, you know. So what happened is the Holy Spirit used that and that music, and he ignited that music where he has moved within me. Well, now what it talks about, it moves within you, but it moves into the area in which we are. Y'all with me? Now, it comes up to this. So this applies to us individually. You know, it applies to us individually. But also, it applies to us in a gathering of a church. When the church gathers. See, when the church gathers. And so the church comes together and it praises. It praises like you begin the service. It praises. And it's like, you know, when you say, hey, man, Adam, you're knocking. You're knocking the ball out here. That's good. That's a home run, you know. And he does. He absolutely does. But there's something else happening. There's something else happening. What's happening is we sing, as the music goes in the singing with the music, just singing with the music, it brings the hand of God in to the service, and it causes the evil spirits to leave the service. Don't want to skip the praise time. See, don't skip the praise time. God, you know, I think a lot of people, you have a praise time at the beginning of the service and say, oh, you know, this is fun. It's good. It's nice. But no, there's a deeper thing going on. Is the music is good and we enjoy it, but we're calling God's hand into the service, all right, and causing the evil to flee. I have had a couple of times, some of y'all come up and say, man, you know, in that message, you made some couple of points, and I really felt like the Lord touched me. And I said, well, okay, that's good, you know. But what happened, what I know, and I know this, when I happen and I hear that happened, if it happened, it came because through the worship, God moved and came, and the spirits fled. And that was opened up that he could use something I said for his glory. See the difference? I mean, okay, it all happened. But you see the dynamic that happened. Now, none of y'all would do this. Okay, we get to the message, and I'm running late. I'll come in there, and I'll get there right after worship, but I'll catch the message. Well, what happened is you miss the spiritual dynamic that was meant for the church to participate in. You miss that spiritual dynamic that is actually cultivating the ground for God to move. The worship's doing that. Back up, not the worship. The music is doing that. The music is actually doing that. The singing is actually doing that. So it's like, oh my God, I don't want to miss the worship. Because I want to be in what God's doing. In what God doing. So we see this is happening. Through music and singing, the hand of the Lord comes upon the congregation corporately, and the harmful spirits flee corporately. I've had situations of the time where someone who has disruptive come in church. Yeah, right, you just have that stuff all. Disruptive come in a church service. And they don't cause an upheaval or anything negative after the worship. It's like they lose what their train of thought, they lose their power, and they can't do it. It's just they've been neutralized, you know. Well, how does that happen? Why? Well, no, I'll tell you why. Because the music brings in the hand of God and the evil spirits flee. Now you're set up to have a message without any disruptions. See? So this whole thing, you see what's going here. So this is why we come together on Sundays and make music. I mean, the music, the guitar and the drums, the piano and stuff, the bass, all those instruments are good to make music, see? And it's that music God uses for him to move in where we are and what he's trying to do. All right. Everybody kind of got that? Now, this is individually. Go before it and ask, you know, and, you know, even... You know, try it out. You know, it's like, oh my God, I think the world's going to come to an end today. All right? Let me just play some praise music, just join in the Lord and say, God, I just want to sing to you. I'm purposely trying to stay away from praise and worship because it's like, okay, you got to get spiritual and I want you to praise. No, you don't have to get that spiritual. It's like, praise songs, use some good Christian music, or good music. It doesn't have to be Christian music. I can be good music. Any people like into opera and stuff like that, you know, that music is good music and has the same effect because God has, you know, gifted these people to be good with good music. Okay, so it doesn't necessarily have to be Christian music. But you play that music and all of a sudden it'll just pull you out of that and put you at a point where you start looking at the world different, but then also what it does, empower you. You'll find out you're empowered. Why? Because you brought God's hand in, and what's evil leaves, it can't stay. So it's a really dynamic, incredible dynamic, and we go back to Elisha. That's what happened with Elisha. I think we really need to meditate on that. So, hallelujah. With that, we see that dynamic and why it's really important to do it Sunday morning. Why we should sing praises Sunday morning. Stop. Why we should play music and sing Sunday morning, all right? Which leads into praise and worship. But it's God's tool. Now, here, there's another place in that just fascinates me. And in 2nd Chronicles, there's a great example of powerful corporate music. powerful corporate music. So again, I want us to use this example of how powerful it is, all right, so that we can kind of, well, maybe we should grab hold of this. There's more to this than we realize. And this account is just fascinating to me. And what it is, you have in 2 Chronicles, you have Jerusalem is coming under a great surprise attack. I mean, it's like an invasion. They're going to be taken over, the whole city of Jerusalem. And they're totally unprepared. The military is not prepared. And so they're setting this huge army coming against them in this invasion to the city. And so Jehoshaphat is like, well, you're the army. I can't use the army. We're in a bad spot here. What are we going to do? This invasion is coming in. Jehoshaphat appoints singers to go before the army. I always want to use that and say, won't be in the choir? No. Nah, I don't think so. You know, like that. You see Jehoshaphat going, hey guys, we'll be in the choir. Mm-mm. But so, foolishness aside, he appoints singers to go before his army because his army can't handle this because it's too big. So they're totally unprepared. So listen to what happens, the account. This is 2 Chronicles. Don't have an overhead, but this is 2 Chronicles 20, 21, and 22. And when Jehoshaphat, the king, had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing. Yeah? He appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. And they went before the army. I mean, they're the front line. They didn't follow up. See, you know. So they went before the army. And they say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Then verse 22, and when they began to sing, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the great army who had come against Judah, so that they fled in there, and they were defeated. Same thing with Elisha. There's no difference with what happened to Elisha and what happened. None. There's no difference. Okay? Same principles working here. Same principles working here. He brought in God's hand. He brought in God's hand. Brought in God's hand, the evil flees. That's exactly what happened. So you see a principle unfold here. So here's the second lesson. This is lesson number two. All right, lesson number two. When we begin to sin, the Lord will set up an ambush so that our enemies are defeated. We begin to sing. Oh, I'm all holy and I'm worshipful and I'm just in tune with God. No. You begin to sing. You begin to even approach to go in and call upon the Lord, you know, and sing to God. You're playing the instrument. You're singing as soon as you begin. It reminds me in Daniel where he was praying and he didn't get an answer for 3 weeks, and Gabriel finally showed up and says, we heard you the first time, as soon as you start. When you began, we heard you. He says, but we had the archangel was fighting us. We couldn't get here. But we heard you. And we were coming. First day we heard it. So, so when they began, lesson number two, when we began to sing, the Lord will set up an ambush so that our enemies will be defeated. Now look at the dynamic of what's happening here. That God is calling us to sing to him, to play instruments to him, and is the music to him, and he moves. So the music is having God to move. Now, it's in the realm of the kingdom of God and how God works, but this is the method in which he moves in his kingdom, and it's through music and singing. Now, music and singing brings us into the power of God. Now, we understand, too, we read it in the Psalms. You just see it all through the Psalms. But look at this Psalms in Psalms 100, verses 1 and 2. It makes this Psalms seem a lot more powerful. Psalms 100, 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Come into his presence with singing. Not coming into his presence and then sing. Come into his presence with singing. See, and here's the point. When I looked at this, and I never saw this way before, it says, come into his presence with singing. What it could be easily understood is singing will bring us into his presence. See? The music and the singing brings us into his presence. Do it Sunday morning. Okay, we'll start, and we're going to sing the first song. Okay? And it brings us into his presence. Everything kind of goes away. See, the singing and the instruments, the music, does that. Brings us into his presence. Now, throughout the Bible, we see that making music, singing, worshiping, brings us into a spiritual realm of God. You see what's happening here? Now, because physically, Elisha goes, I don't know what these guys are, dude. You know, physically, Jehoshaphat's going, we're all dead. And they basically said that. They said, we're all going to die, you know, physically. But what happened, the instruments and the singing broke into the spiritual realm where the in spiritual realm took over, told Elisha what to say, and defeated the army. It broke through. The spiritual broke through from the physical. It broke through. Now, so here is the third, okay, I won't give you the third lesson. But before I read the third lesson, look here at verse 4 that also ties to this, Psalms 100, verse 4. Because he's told us here that you come into his presence with singing, okay, coming into his presence with singing, or the singing brings you into his presence. Verse 4, it continues with this. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. This is the one after the singing, okay? So, what you have here, music and singing opens God's gates and brings us into his courts. Now, Old Testament, you have the temple built. So they're talking about but the temple is a picture of heaven. The temple was a whole picture of how to come before God. And so we have a better revelation now in the New Testament. And so he's telling us here to enter those gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. What gates? What court? It's in his presence of his kingdom, of his kingdom. So again, lesson number 3, music and singing opens God's gates and brings us into his court. His hand comes, demons flee. Why? Because we're in his court. You see what I'm saying? And this is singing and music in the gate. Singing in the gate. Now we're in his court. What's in his court? What's in his court? What's in our court Sunday morning after praise and worship? You see what it is? So it's a powerful view of music and what he's actually doing. Now, what I want to do now is just touch on, you know, you have these Old Testament pictures. And what I love about the Old Testament, because it gives you a picture. It gives you something you can see. I think that's one of the biggest things about the Old Testament. Oh, I can see it. Really? I can see that. He goes, yeah, now you can see the physical, but I'm doing it all the time when you can't see it. Oh, just like that. Yeah, just like that. Okay? Gotcha. Well, let's look at some of the New Testament, and we see where God is doing the same thing with music and singing. And we have a situation where Paul and Silas are making music, okay, and singing, coming into the spiritual realm, and they experience God. Paul and Silas do the same thing. Same thing. No overhead, but just listen to this. Acts 16, 25, 26. Paul and Silas are in jail. About midnight, while in jail, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. What were they doing? What were they doing? They're praying and singing hymns to God. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. You come in his gates. You just came into his gates. That's what happened. And all the doors were open. What'd they do? They were singing. They were actually just singing. Now, so when you see this, when singing, immediately the doors were open. Now, this is like entering the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Same thing. You see the spiritual, the physical he showed us, and the spiritual that's happening now. That maybe we can't see it, but that's what's at work. That's what's at work now, so that we understand that. Making music and singing puts us in a position to experience God. To experience God. In the New Testament, making music and singing, the fruit of our lips is our gift to God, our sacrifice to God. And I'm going to, because we're going to look at something here. Making music and singing, see, it's the fruit of our lips. Something's come out. We're saying the fruit of our lips, and the fruit of our lips is a gift to God, but it also is a sacrifice for God. Think in the Old Testament, they're just killing these animals one after another, honor God. The fruit of our lips is a sacrifice to God. See how it changes in the New Testament, how everything's changing. But he's showing us so that we can see and understand how he's functioning and how he's moving. So we offer up a sacrifice of praise when we sing. Now, would you look at Hebrews 13, 15. Hebrews 13, 15. Now, again, all this is connected. We haven't left Elisha, okay? He bring in a musician. He start playing, Hand of God came. Or we haven't left Jehoshaphat putting the singers in front of the army. We haven't left Psalms where it says, enter his presence with singing and his gates with thanksgiving. We haven't left that, okay? So included in that, look at Hebrews 13, 15. Through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Singing, sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. We offer a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips. We say something. We are actually singing the fruit of our lips, and it has the power to bring us into his presence. Music. Now, we see how music and singing calls God into our physical circumstances, releasing his presence into our lives. Now, one of the things I'm going to share with y'all in doing this is that I think a lot of people that are musical experience this, and they don't even know they're experiencing because they're musical. And so the so when it brings them to that position and they're experiencing God, it may be not, oh, that was just good. No, that was more. That's God coming, you know, and that was more of God moving in your circumstances. And so people realize that. But the reason I want to say it, the only reason I make this point is I'm not like that. I was not like that. But when I read it and saw what it meant, then I started to practice it because of what I read. I said, okay, this must be true. And so the Lord honored, you know, my obedience to reveal himself through worship. And I've always tried to put, any time I've been involved in a church setting or anything, to put worship the first place, always the first place, because I understood this, and I know that the Lord speaks through that, even though I don't have the ear to hear it like other people do. But I understand the power of it, and then you see that God really does move in this, and so you learn how to appreciate that. Okay, right? Okay, so you see how music and singing calls God into our physical circumstances, releasing his power into our lives. And listen to this. We see how music and singing ignites the Holy Spirit. It ignites the Holy Spirit. This gives special meaning to what the Apostle Paul tells us. Now again, don't forget Elijah. Don't forget Jehoshaphat. Don't forget the Psalms. Don't forget what Hebrews says. It's all connected. And this is what Paul now says. This is how you ignite the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 through 19. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing. Why? 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 Why would you address one of psalms and hymns and spiritual sing? Why? Because when you do this, you call God into the presence. See? You call God into that relationship. You call God into what's going on. See? When you do that, you're causing his power to cause all the evil to flee from that relationship. And now he is present. The Holy Spirit's ignited. How? Singing and music. That's why it's important. And that's why Paul said to do it. There's a reason. There's a power, move, reason why we should do that. Now again, I'm going to back up to make a point. Oh, I come in someone's presence and just be worshipful. Don't you hate people like that? Just drive you nuts. You know, say, come on, settle down. Let's go have a cup of coffee. Okay. Praise. But God said, well, no, it's something else. It's music and they're singing. And in that music and singing, you just brought God into it and the evil flees. And now I have this. It ignites the Holy Spirit. Now, I would assume you don't just have to walk up someone, put your arm around them, just sing them a song. But I think your mind attitude would be there. Your mind attitude, you could do that. Your mind attitude. Or maybe there's even, hey, let's get together. Let's listen to some music together. Let's just talk and see. See, it puts a dynamic where you think, this is how God moves. This is important. This is what he says. This verse is no different than Elisha. It's in 2 Kings 3:15. They're no different between these two verses. There's no difference between 2 Chronicles 20 and these verses. There's no difference. It's exactly the same thought. It's exactly, we have the picture in the Old Testament. It's like, oh my gosh. But he said, no, you spiritually, when you're in this, this is what I'm doing. You don't see it, but this is what I'm doing. Just cooperate with me. Cooperate with me. Now, addressing one another in hymns, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, because He calls forth the hand of God, causes our enemy to flee, and opens the gates and brings us into his court. Golly, what a lot of things could be diffused and solved if we could just bring everybody into God's courts. Just bring into the courts, you know. And that's what we can do. That's what we go. And this is what God's telling us that we can do. So it's like, all right, hallelujah. Now, this is something for you to think about, something for you to look at and see what God is speaking through you, to see God move in a very, very powerful way. And so I believe you want to see God move in our life. You want to see God's hand move in our church. Make music and sing. God never did. It was not hard, you know. He doesn't tell us like hard things. You know, it's like, you want to see God move? Make music and sing. Now, it doesn't say don't do anything else, quit and just, you know. No, but this should be, I look at this and I said, no, this should be part of our daily life. Part of our daily life. I mean, make applications. Just wait till the kids get home. I am going to tear them apart. Maybe you should just kind of spend some time making love, making music to Jesus before you do that. You know. Or wait till my spouse gets home. I can't believe he did that. My health is like, well, why don't you spend a little time with the Lord? Let's just have some music. Let's some praise song. Just kind of sing along, you know, with the music. And God says, yeah, I'll come in. You enter through his gates. You'll be in my court. And then now we can talk. Would your life change with that? Would it change? Absolutely would it change. I think a lot of people's mental outlook will change. I'm going to share something, and this is closing. Honest, this is closing. But you look at the world today. Now, I'm just saying my opinion. But I am absolutely convinced it's going slap-hat crazy. Nuts. I mean, these people don't have the ability to make any kind of moral decision. I mean, anybody. It's just bizarre to me what's happening. So, just to let you know, I think everybody's nuts. Except you guys. Except you're not nuts. But when you look at this, God said, no, you're not looking at this right. You're not looking at this right. What you do, you need to make music and sing. Bring me into that. And watch the evil flee. All right? That's what if you do this, this is what I do. So. And we have a lot to shout about. We have a lot to shout and sing about. And we'll close with this, what we had last week. We shout and sing about because in Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you for music. We are so thankful to you for singing. And you truly do tell everyone to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Make a joyful noise. We are so thankful for the people who have sacrificed their time to lead us in praise. They come up here and they lead all of us in praise. And too, I hope that every one of them feels encouraged that they are doing a mighty work of God, that bringing God into our presence and causing evil to flee. And that it is so critical into everything we do. So I pray an anointing on them. I pray your encouragement for them, and that they would just really sense the depth of the ministry that they are a part of. And just thank you for that. So, Lord, and also we're thankful that you saved us. You saved us. You forgave our sins and brought us into your presence, that we can praise you. We can boldly go before you and praise you each and every day. So we give thanks to you, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.